Chris Abert, you are the founder and director of the Indiana Recovery Alliance. What do you think about the city of Bloomington's push for this moratorium? Nothing's passed yet, but coming from the city, they're talking about this is a moratorium to try to protect people in our community from some of these predatory addiction treatment facilities. Specifically, Mary Catherine had mentioned South Beach, Florida, and Arizona as kind of case studies of that. And I'm just wondering, what do you or the Indiana Recovery Alliance think about the proposed moratorium?
So I think there's a couple different issues going on within that moratorium. One thing, and that was what you were talking about, is the Delray Beach or the Prescott model. The model is highly predatory. It uses basically headhunters and marketers to cycle people from halfway houses into treatment centers, and oftentimes will pay people exorbitant amounts of money, including, you know, people who are using drugs to purposefully relapse to be cycled through, and worse. And it's documented pretty well. So protecting ourselves against that type of treatment is absolutely necessary. And we can follow the lead of Delray. We can follow the lead of Prescott, who have passed similar moratoriums and then enacted legislation to make sure that those type of predatory treatment centers aren't able to continue in that practice. Unfortunately, this moratorium included medically assisted therapy within that.
And you're talking about the proposed moratorium that
right.
the city is offering.
Yeah, so this moratorium also targeted buprenorphine and methadone clinics. And our understanding is that the new methadone clinic won't be affected by this, and that it is just a moratorium from 6 months to a year. The problem with that is that we're in the height of the opioid epidemic, right? We've never seen fatal overdoses at these numbers. We're in the midst of a hepatitis C epidemic, possibility of an HIV outbreak. So to take away the most efficacious modality in this time, even for 6 months, right? So 6 months doesn't sound like that long. How many people might die, though, in that 6 months because they're denied access to that treatment? And I think another thing for listeners to know is that the previous treatment that we're talking about, that inpatient partial hospitalization treatment, that is barely regulated at all, right? So, you know, outside of just a few slight regulations, pretty much anyone can go in and start one of those type of outfits. To start a medically assisted therapy treatment is so incredibly regulated. I mean, we're talking about SAMHSA, we're talking about prescription oversight, INSPECT through the state of Indiana,
ISDH,
the Department of Mental Health, ISDH, the FDA, the DEA. So to think that those are somehow like predatory and that the city needs to have oversight over them when they're so highly regulated is misinformed.
So what is the difference there that you're talking about? Because addiction treatment, it could be, you know, somebody checking into rehab, right? To me or to a bystander. So what is really the difference between what you're talking about versus what the city is talking about?
So that's where I think it gets confusing, because they're talking about both as though they are somehow similarly related and both need oversight to protect from this kind of predator behavior that we're talking about. And in fact, we need to parse out that MAT is a very different modality than inpatient abstinent-based treatment. First of all, the first thing to know is that the inpatient abstinent-based treatment has a success rate of about 8%, right? So, and that's if you look at the metric of actual sustained abstinence and engagement, continued engagement in the program. That's across the board for most treatment modalities that are abstinent-based long-term, whether they're inpatient or IOP. Whereas if you look at other metrics, such as decrease in disease, decrease in fatal overdose, retention in the program, reduction in incarceration rates, then programs like methadone and buprenorphine really shine, right? So there's, again, 45 years of evidence for the efficacy of methadone. There's over 15 years of evidence for the efficacy of buprenorphine. So again, to even compare these is, to put it lightly, comparing apples and oranges, and they absolutely shouldn't be both included in any moratorium schemes. It's too critical right now. We're too critical of a point to suddenly put up artificial city-imposed barriers. So I'll say it one last time. There are already so many regulations on buprenorphine and methadone that we don't really have to worry about people becoming predators within those systems.
So this confusion, I guess, that's coming from at least City Hall in conflating inpatient and medically assisted. Part of what at least Mary Catherine Carmichael had said is that this is a moratorium so that they can pull back and stop any of this development and study the issue for an extended period of time. It looks like the mayor's office is proposing a year, but it'll ultimately be up to city council to decide how long or if this moratorium goes forward. Does that seem like a reasonable...
So again, whether it was the civil rights movement or ACT UP in the 80s, we don't have time to wait. Right, we cannot put a one-year moratorium in the midst of the worst opioid, the worst drug epidemic ever in the history of the world. You know, an hour away from here, Scott County, the worst HIV epidemic in the history of our country. We're in the middle of a hepatitis C epidemic. The entire country is overwhelmed by mass incarceration. So we absolutely don't have a year. We don't have 6 months. We don't have 30 days for this type of moratorium against MAT. Again, I'm going to offer a little bit of grace and assume good intentions and just say that this was a misinformed, well-intentioned effort that will end up, if enacted, first of all, we would put all our efforts into fighting it continuously, as we've already started to do. And second of all, it would have immediate, terrible consequences for the people that it was purported to help. So this brings me to probably the reason the IRA exists in the first place. We believe that it's essential to have the people most affected and people working the front lines sitting at tables when policies are being designed like this, right? So this is exactly the type of situation where having somebody who understood MAT, who is in the forefront of the opioid fight right now, you know, helping to inform policymakers of unintended consequences of some of their proposed legislation and ordinances. And we believe that from the federal government, to the state government, to the county government, to the city government, to local trustees even, right? So we just want to make sure that when people are formulating these ideas on how to best help, have people in the room that are actually on the front lines helping those folks. Best scenario is that you have people who are actually using drugs, so you can find out, what is it that you actually need? You know, what are you scared of? What have been your experiences with these different types of treatments? And don't just rest on those anecdotes, because, and overarching, we have tons of data that can show us what is the best path to move forward.
And where would it be possible for somebody to grab data like this? I mean, is that generally available to the public?
Or? It's so easy to find. You just have to know what you're looking for. So I think the saying is, I don't know what I don't know until I realize I didn't know it, something like that. And I think this is an instance of that. That we sent a letter to the city and to the council, to the mayor's office, informing them of, again, the efficacy of MAT. But yeah, the information is, you just Google, you know, MAT outcomes, or Google, you know, Google the Florida model for treatment centers, and you can find out what the actual concern is here.
Anything else that you want to add, either with regards to this proposed moratorium or about addiction treatment in general?
Well, I want to say that the city was quick to reach out. So we also talked to Mary Catherine and Isabel Piedmont reached out. And so we spoke with the mayor's office, and they seemed very receptive to changing the language within the moratorium, or at least discussing that. And then we hope to meet with council members over the weekend to help guide these policies. So again, I honestly believe that everybody wants to protect our most vulnerable community members, and that if we're all at the table and we have the best information possible, we can make that a reality. So,
Chris Abert, founder and director of the Indiana Recovery Alliance, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Wes.